we've looked at God's sovereign will. That is, God takes the, basically the upshot of that message was that God takes the events in our lives and shapes them and ultimately to the conformity of his will. Then last week we discussed the sovereign will of God in the area of the moral will of God. That is, as we live our Christian lives, that when we obey the moral will of God, we are in essence obeying the sovereign will of God. But today we want to look at something in what I call the gray areas. Whether we want to acknowledge this or not, there are gray areas in the Christian life. Let me give you a couple of examples. The Bible nowhere tells us when, who we're to marry, whether we're to have a surgery or not, issues along those natures or along those lines. And so there are these gray areas, and how we respond to them, I think, is very important. And people do it a lot of different ways. Some will throw fleeces before God. They'll say, well, God, the Bible's really not clear here, but if at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning the phone rings, I will take that as a sign from you that I'm to do this. And some people will use the Bible. You've probably done this yourself. Well, open it up and put your finger and say, oh, there it is, until you run into a text that talks about the temple was 40 cubits by whatever. Well, today, let's look at what Paul teaches us. First of all, we make careful, wise choices. And notice the caution begins right away. Look carefully then how you walk. And walk refers to the behavior of the believer. So in some sense, this does point back to the moral will of God. He says, be very careful then how you walk. Look carefully refers to looking out for danger or conformity to a normal or a standard. Now, when we go back and we look at the book of Ephesians, several times Paul made a reference to this before we got to this text. Listen to some of these, like in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And then he goes and explains how you do that. With all humility and gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's one way that we walk carefully. Here's another way. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24, you are taught to put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life, and its corrupt desires and deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And then, as this chapter begins, in chapter 5, verse 1, we read, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave us up for himself a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It seems to me that Paul, in talking about this particular area of God's will, his shepherding will, is very concerned about how we live and how we walk. And it's so vital, I think, when we talk about understanding not only God's sovereign will, but his moral will and his shepherding will, to understand that we have a responsibility as believers to walk rightly with him and with the world. Then he gets into what I call the call in 15b through 16. Now notice what he says. Not as unwise, so there's going to be a comparison here. Not as unwise, but as wise. And when you look at this Greek word unwise, it refers to being foolish. It refers to a living that is just doing whatever you want to do. And I know we've seen this, and you know, people do foolish things, right? People do foolish things all the time. There is forgiveness that can be done, that can be sought for that. But here he's saying, don't be foolish. Don't live like you want to live and just do your own thing and without any cautions or without any limits, and be warned about this careless living. Well, the reason we do that is because we have the Word of God. We have the Word of God to help us. But he says, not as unwise, but as wise. And the Greek word here refers to pertaining to an understanding resulting in wisdom. Furthermore, it talks about skillful insight and into the true nature of things. You get a surgeon. The surgeon is able to, with special glasses and with his skill and technology, he is able to go into a patient and identify what the issue is. Then he's able to make that correction based on the skill that he used to arrive at the conclusion. And so here, Paul is telling us, be very skillful in how we look at things and how we live and how we conduct our lives. James 3:13 says this, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show works in meekness of wisdom. If you go to Philippians, and I'm bringing in a lot of scriptures, I know that, but Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, we read this. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So there is, again, this connection between how we walk, how we see things, and how we live, whether it's wise or unwise. These things all help us in the direction of life and in the direction sometimes of those gray areas of life where we need to know an answer from God of how to live. Now, notice, Paul immediately applies this. Watch this. Making the best use of time because the days are evil. Making the best use of time refers to being diligent because the days are evil. So as you are living your Christian life, making wise choices and living in wisdom, in the wisdom of God, and not living foolishly, because if you live foolishly, mistakes will happen and problems come along. We could easily go back and say that God will reshape those in his sovereign will and turn them and use them for good eventually. But the call here, I think, when we talk about his shepherding will, is to do those things which we know we are supposed to do. And that as we live our lives, we make the best use of time. One of my, and that's alert to situations. These soldiers are on guard duty. They are watching. They are looking. They are looking for the enemy. And let me just say this. The days that we live in are very evil. Do you know that? I mean, these are rough times to live in. And you don't have to go very far to see the evilness in the world. You just watch TV, you listen to the news, you read the newspaper. The world is evil, and it's getting worse, and it's getting harder for Christians to be able to function in the environment that we live in. So I think it's very important that we make careful and wise choices. We follow God's moral will. We talked about that last week, too. And I think it goes right back to it in a sense. Notice what he says, therefore, do not be foolish. That means failing to apply practical wisdom. Look at this lady. She's looking through the wrong end. No wonder she can't see anything. You know, years ago when I was in Bible college, we would do a lot of studying, and we read a lot of books. And that's wonderful. It's good to get education. It's good to read books. And the trick is taking the book knowledge and applying it to life. You can have all the head smarts that you want, but if you never apply them to life, you've got an issue. The brothers and sisters, when we read the Bible and we look at what God says about things in our lives, we look at it, and sometimes we just look and go, okay, well, I know God says that, but I'm going to do this. That's called living unwise. That's called living foolishly. However else you want to call it, you could name it probably a million things, I guess, not walking according to his will, whatever it would be. But the issue here is wisdom versus foolishness. It's an Old Testament proverb. It's wisdom doing what God tells us to do versus what our flesh tells us to do. Then we talk about God's revealed will. Verse 17b. Now notice, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I think individually that we need to understand what the will of the Lord is, and that Greek word means to employ one's capacity for understanding and arriving at the right conclusion. Read that again. To employ one's capacity for understanding and to arrive at the right insight or right result. Where do we get this? And again, without beating a dead horse, this right here has pretty much everything we need in it. Now, you remember I said earlier that God doesn't tell us who to marry. He doesn't go, thou shalt marry Joanne, thou shalt marry Tim. He doesn't do that, at least what I understand. But what you can do when you are discussing getting married or dating or all of those issues is you can go into the scriptures and you can find what is a virtuous woman, what is a godly man, and you can look through the Bible and you can study those things and you can come to the conclusion on your own that, wait a minute, this person may not be the right person for me. This person may not be the best fit for me. Look at their spiritual life. And talking about that, talking about surgeries. I think surgeries are probably the gray area. I think that's an individual call. Particularly if you don't want to have a surgery, I would say don't have the surgery. I don't find anything in Scripture that prohibits us from having a surgery or not having a surgery, or that would provide guidance for this. Now, if the issue is life, then I think life becomes important and you make a decision based on life. You could do it that way. But God doesn't specifically tell us, oh, you can go have this surgery or you don't have to have this surgery. I think you make up your own mind on this. I think you choose for yourself. I have said this over and over again, and I will continue to say it. For the most part, we know God's will. For the most part, we know God's will. We know it's God's will to live pure lives. We know it's God's will that we don't steal, kill, cheat, lie. We know it's God's will that we love one another. We know it's God's will that we give to the church. We know it's God's will to worship him. We know it's God's. I mean, there's so many things that we know are God's will. And if we do those things, I think when we come into those gray areas, I think God will give us clear direction on how we're to act. Now, let's look at the best way. And go with me to James. James chapter 5. Now notice what James says. And this is a condition. I think when you're living for God and when you're doing the things that God has called you to do and you're following the moral will of God and you're seeking God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and you're following the prescriptions found in the Bible, then this is what I would recommend to you as a pastor, as your pastor. The best way to live. If any of you lacks wisdom, this is the best way to choose. If any of you lacks wisdom, lacks means to possess, to not possess something which is necessary, and wisdom, which is the capacity to understand and act wisely. So in other words, in those areas of life, when you're not really sure, when you're not really sure, those are important areas. And there are times, this is what sometimes our lives look like when we're trying to make a decision on an issue that's not clear in Scripture, that we may look at and go, God, I really don't know what to do. I'm not really sure what to do here. Lord, I need wisdom on how to handle this, how to look at the situation, how to arrive at what I would believe is a proper response. What do you want me to do? And I think these are the times. There's multiple ways to decide. If you just look on a piece of paper and you write things out, different ways that you can respond in any given situation, there are tons of ways. Then I think you look at what is the best way, and the best way to respond to the situation. Now, this is where I want to spend some time. The call. Verse 5b. Let him ask God, who gives generously. And this is James telling us, seeking the wisdom of God. Let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask God. So many times when we try to make decisions, I think we don't ask God. I think sometimes we just kind of forget, move out to the side, and we try to reason this stuff through in our own head. And I think it's so important. I think it's so important that we engage God. Because listen, Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins and rose from the dead and is at the right hand of the Father so that we can have an ongoing relationship with Him. That means God is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whenever we are burdened or whenever we have hardships, whenever we have trials, God is always there to listen. And we need to go to Him. In those times when we are unsure, when we're not really sure which way we should go on a decision, which way we should respond to a situation, we go to God directly. We don't need to go anywhere else. I mean, you can go to Scripture, and you can find it in Scripture, or you may not find it in Scripture. And then if you don't find it in Scripture, then you have to go to God to get the answer. Now notice, let him ask God. Now what does God do? He gives generously. And the Greek word here, generously, refers to freely. How many good things does God hold from His children? How many things does God not answer? And I think sometimes when we don't get an answer, we just wait. I think that's the best way to go, is we wait. But do you realize that we have a good God? Do you realize that? We have a good God. We have a God who loves us. My goodness, Him putting Christ on the cross should be a symbol of His love for us. So we can go to God. We can ask Him. We know that God will give generously. This is something that is often overlooked. Watch this. To all without reproach. So all of us, that is all of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, when we go to God, God does not sit there and go, you mean you don't know the answer to this one? Really? When we go to God and we say, God, I really don't understand something here. You need to help me understand this. God's not up there going, hey, you should know the answer to this. Sometimes you don't know the answer to this. God is not going to rebuke us when we ask Him for wisdom and knowledge on a situation. God will rebuke us when we don't go to Him and we live foolishly and unwisely in this world. But if we go to God and we honestly go before him and say, Lord, I do not know what to do here. I believe God looks at us and at least acknowledges the fact that we depend on him for wisdom. He will not find fault if you do not know the answer. And by the way, none of us have an answer to everything. You do realize that. We know a lot of things in Scripture, that's true. But there's a lot of things we don't know. And let me just say this. It's all right. It's all right. You don't have to know everything. Do I think that if we make a mistake in our Christian walk, even seeking God's will, that God will judge us for that? I don't think so. I think because of the sovereign will that we talked about already, he takes even the bad events of life and molds them and shapes them to get us to where he wants us to be. So whatever it is, God works it out for his plan and his glory. I think where we get in trouble is we forget that God's there. And we don't ask him and we don't seek him. But notice, it says here that he'll do this without reproach. God won't say, boy, you should know the answer to this. And notice this last promise. This is important and huge. And it will be given to you. This is where it starts. Used to have a Pastors in Moments. Not the Association for the Southern Baptist, but just pastors in general. We used to meet in what was called the upper room at the Charismatic Church. Pastor Dan, I loved him dearly. We agreed on a lot of things. Some things we didn't agree on. But I'll tell you this. We would climb the steps up to the prayer room. And it was a small little prayer room. And I'll never forget looking at this poster that was on the wall, and it said, make war on the floor. I've heard a lot of people pray. My Uncle Bob's probably one of them that I've heard, that you just feel like you're really in the presence of God, and I've met others. But Pastor Dan, you got the sense that he was in the presence of God when he prayed. Why do we not pray? When we have decisions, and I'm not talking about what you buy at the grocery store. Those are also gray areas, those things. But why do we not pray? Why do we not seek the Scripture when we have decisions to make? Brothers and sisters, if you go before God, he promises to give you an answer. He promises to speak to you. Promises to not find fault with you. Promises to love you, to care for you. And yes, God cares about every circumstance and situation in your life. That being the case, I think when we walk carefully, we make wise choices following God's moral will, and if we still don't have an answer at that point, then I think we go to God. We go to God for the answer. I like what D. Edmund Hebert said. Prayer brings God near in his full resourcefulness. How many things can God not do? Doesn't God own everything? Isn't this world created by him?
Doesn't he love us? And I think, and I agree, that when we go to God about a situation or a circumstance or whatever, I think God stands ready and willing to help us and to give us what we need in the moment that we need it. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. First of all, a serious question. First of all, do you know Jesus Christ? To me, that is the most important question that must be answered. And it can only be answered by you. I'm not talking about do you have head knowledge of Christ. I'm talking about do you have heart knowledge of Christ. Two totally separate issues. One is knowing about Jesus, and the other one is knowing Jesus. So if you know Jesus here but not here, please, this morning, give your heart to Jesus Christ. Secondly, are you dealing with a circumstance or situation in life that you need an answer to? Is there a problem, an issue, or a circumstance that you're dealing with that you really don't know how to deal with? This is what I would tell you to do this morning as your pastor. First of all, I would say start here. Start in the Bible. Start in, look at what issue it is, and then take it to the Bible. Secondly, I would say this, make sure that you are living the Bible. Make sure that you are doing those things that God has called you to do. Make sure that you are seeking Him with your whole heart. Make sure that you are doing that. You look at the Scriptures, and if you cannot find it in Scripture, then you need to go to God, and you need to pray and ask Him for wisdom, because this is where it's at. Our Christian life is spent either living foolishly or living wisely. Do you have something going on today that you need an answer to? If you do, you can just come up here and talk to God about it. If you search Scriptures, that'd be Scripture, your life, and God. And again, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please, before you leave today, make sure that you have trusted in Him.